I will not be before you very long. I'm not long-winded. And these other guys, these assistant pastor Nick, do a much better job than me, which might mean I need a lot more practice, but I'm going to give you what the Lord has laid on my heart. Amen. Praise God. So just a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. Lord Jesus, let it not be me, but you, oh God, and the wisdom, that message that you've given me, I ask, oh God, that you give me the words to portray that, Lord Jesus, that somebody's heart will be touched. Lord, I thank you for your presence thus far, and I give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As Pastor said, we have been married 46 years, and I've been blessed with four beautiful children, three boys and a girl, for those who don't know me, and just an abundance of grandchildren, half of which almost belong to my son behind me right there. Amen. As he might tell you every week. But he's looking good. Amen. He's surviving. He's doing good. Yeah. But as long as we've been married, I can honestly say to you that one of my greatest joys is to go to a wedding. I don't know about you, but to go to a wedding and to see the bride and the groom there exchanging vows, to see the nervous, joyful expectation on their faces, the naivety, because if we knew what we were going to face when we got married, we probably would have said no. But God has been so good and so faithful. Amen. And but I love to go to a wedding, and I love to see those vows being exchanged again, and just the freshness of a new beginning for the couple. And so today my message is kind of along those lines. We think about, and we know, the hard work that goes into preparing a wedding, all the invitations being sent out, the dresses, the groom need to be, and all the funds and the planning and the frustration that goes along with planning a wedding. And so today my message is called Bride or Concubine. And when I was in prayer and the Lord gave this to me, I thought, well, yeah, are you sure about this? But he nudged me to say, Bride or Concubine. And I think I have a scripture verse that goes with that. If you can just put that up. But that's going to be in my scripture. So from the very beginning of creation, God's desire and his intent was relationship with him. Amen. And the model of that is when he created Adam and Eve, one male, one female. He took Eve from her Adam's side. He didn't take Eve from her head or his foot. He took Eve from the rib in his side. She was supposed to be his helpmeet. She was supposed to walk alongside him. And that was God's intention. And every day in the garden, Adam and Eve had communion with God. Relationship was always the heart of God. And so Genesis 2 said, and the Lord God said it was not good for man to be alone. That's why he created Eve. But he communed with them every single day. And marriage, I believe, was portrayed right there at the very beginning. One man, one woman, becoming one in relationship to God. That was his design from the very beginning. Marriage not only provides individual companionship, marriage provides physical, spiritual, and of course it was done for the propagation of mankind. That was God's design. Eve became the very first mama. But not until separation from God took place. Because of Adam and Eve's disobedience, sin entered into the world. Sin divided them. Sin separated them, severed that relationship that God so designed. And maybe Satan thought he'd won, but God had a plan. God had a plan. And whatever God plans, it will come to pass. So, if we rewind, God said, okay, you've managed to cause separation between my treasure, my love, but I have another plan. So today, the model of this relationship is Christ and the church. The, The church is called the bride of Christ. Amen? Okay. So, in Jewish times, way, way back, this is how it went. And this is how I do believe that God has modeled what he is going to do and what he is fulfilling right now. So the groom would spot this particular bride that he would want to make his life partner, his loved one. Okay, he didn't just go pick anybody out. He found someone that he wanted, he loved, he chose. Okay, I want you to remember that. And upon doing that, he would go to the father's house and ask for this woman that he wanted to spend his life with. And there a covenant was signed. Now, a covenant obligates a husband to provide food, clothing, sexual satisfaction for his wife, but he entered into a covenant. And at that particular time, betrothal had been achieved. It's not like the weddings of today, the engagements of today. Back then, this is how they did it. And just like in the story of Mary and Joseph, at that particular time, Joseph had chosen Mary to be his wife, had gone and signed this covenant to say that this is what we're going to do. And at that particular point in the old ceremonies, that meant that they were 100% married, even though they had not been intimate yet. So I want you to keep that in mind. After that covenant was signed, they were considered as married, which is why you can understand in the Bible when Mary came up pregnant, that was not a good thing, right? That was a pretty, but you saw how Joseph handled that. He covered her, he protected her, and this thing was, of course, of God, okay? So they were betrothed, and they were getting ready to marry. Now, after that, what happened was that the bridegroom would go away to prepare a place for his bride. Amen. He left her and he went away to prepare this place. It was for the bride to make herself ready and ever be looking for when the groom was going to come back and take him away to consummate the marriage. In John 14, verse 2, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Modeling the Jewish wedding. And he said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The next step would be the consummation, which is called the chuppah. After the bride price was paid, which is called the mohar, then the groom went away to prepare and he would come back for his bride. Now, very important would be the price paid for the bride. Okay. Now, if you went to the bride's father's house and you didn't have much, I didn't think you stood a good chance of getting his daughter. So if you really loved that woman, you were going to be willing to pay a huge price for her. As in the case of Christ, he laid down his life for his bride. He shed his blood for his bride. Amen. And so we know that we who are in the church are of great value to God. Amen. And so after that would be the celebration when the groom came back to get his bride. Then would be he would take him to his house and they would celebrate. And in Jewish times, it was for 7 whole days that they did it. Now, my husband and I were stupid enough to have 2 receptions, and that was something else. We're trying to please everybody, I can tell you. But this feast went on for 7 days. You can imagine the expense, the money, the time, but everyone would be celebrating with this bride and groom. And then, of course, the marriage will be consummated and he would take her to his house. Okay. So why I'm saying this is that God has made a covenant with his bride, which is the church. Now, this is Mother's Day. We're talking mostly to women. But for male, female, rich, poor, anybody can be a part of this bride. Anyone is a part of this bride. How do you do it? You get baptized in the name of Jesus. First of all, you accept him as your Lord and Savior. You get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then you go on to receive the Holy Ghost. And then you do your very best to live your life for him in expectation that he is coming back for his church, for his bride. Amen. So that is in the stage of where we are at now. Once you've accepted Christ, and if you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that, because he is coming back. Amen. He is coming back. So a covenant is kind of different to a contract, in that a covenant really doesn't rely on two parties, but it relies on the one making the covenant. And God has made a covenant with us. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He said, I will be with you always to the end of the world. He said, I will love you. I will provide for you. And this is the covenant that Christ offers to us if we will accept it. Amen. Now, the old covenant required us keeping the law. If you were under the old covenant, you had to follow a bunch of rules. You had to do in order to keep his covenant. As we see with Abraham, he made different covenants with different ones. Noah, he made a covenant with Noah. He said that seed time, harvest, whatever comes, I will never again flood the earth. I will put my rainbow in the cloud. He said, I will keep that no matter what. So there are covenants that God has made to us that he has promised to fulfill and will never, ever break. Amen. But now we have a new covenant. And the new covenant, God promises to forgive our sin, and that we will know about Christ, and he will put and serve his laws, having us to keep outward laws, but he will put his laws in our hearts, in the flesh of our hearts. And so we have the opportunity to enter into this covenant with God. Amen. One that he will never, ever break. You get into relationships where one partner will let you down, but God says, I will never let you down. I will keep you. I will watch over you. I will love you. He says, I will never, ever let you down. Now, in the olden times as well, in the and because of the greed of man, I would say, a man was allowed to have more than one wife. And so I just want to tell you a few, if I can find my notes, a few things about this arrangement. In Bible times, you could marry a wife and you could go pick up several others. If you were rich, you could have several concubines. A good example of that was King David, who had 8 wives and many concubines. And then, of course, King Solomon, which outweighs all of them, he had 300 wives and 700 concubines. That's 700 wives and 300 concubines. What this man was doing, I do not know, but that's what he decided, okay? So a concubine, in definition, was a wife or sexual partner of secondary status. She was a secondary wife. In other words, she had all the rights and protections under Hebrew law, but she was not equal and never would be equal to the wife. In fact, all of her offspring would always be second to the offspring of the wife, as in with Jacob. Okay, so we understand that. Her purpose was to provide more children. That's why the king or whatever, I don't know about Solomon, but this is why men would marry another or take a concubine, was they wanted to have more children. Or maybe, as in Sarah's case, Sarah could not have children. She was barren. And Sarah, unfortunately, took matters into her own hands and gave Hagar to Abraham. And I guess he didn't say no because he had Ishmael. Okay? So because of the greed of man, there was this arrangement. So she was to provide more children to enhance the family's workforce. She was to build up defenses. As you can see, it says in the Bible that children are a blessing from the Lord. Okay, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Because this was a sign of wealth too. If you had a big family, you were, as in the case of Jacob's son, you know, if you messed with one brother, you took on all 12. And so you had a defense system, you had wealth, you had stability. That was the reason for them wanting more children. And if the wife was barren, then they went and found themselves some concubines. Now, was this pleasing to the Lord? No. This was man's idea. Although this setup provided rights and protection, this marital model was not approved by man. In Deuteronomy 17:17, it very clearly says, and he shall not acquire many wives for himself. Solomon knew this, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he acquire for himself excessive silver and gold. So this was not according to God's plan, and yet it was very prevalent during those biblical times. So if you were a concubine, once again, you could never achieve first status. You're always under secondary status. Sarah and Hagar are a very, very, very good example of this. Sarah, Hagar's name means reward. And though she was blessed, when she was pregnant, she taunted Sarah. And she thought because she got pregnant and Sarah couldn't, that she was better than Sarah. But she was still, God still took care of her. So, what will we decide to be? What will we decide to be? Are we in a relationship with Christ just for what he can give us, what he can provide for us? Are we in a relationship for what we can get? Or do we love the Lord and recognize his love for us? Are we walking beneath the privilege of a chosen bride? This is what the Lord was kind of dealing with me about. That many of us, we are in the church, but our relationship is not one of love, and we do not recognize the status. We do not recognize the blessings. We do not recognize who he is and who we are in Christ. And so this is what I wanted to talk to you. Are you going to be a concubine, living second rate, getting whatever you can, or are you going to live as a princess, a bride, a queen for the Lord? Amen. Christ wants us, if you're in the church, if you've been baptized in the name of Jesus, and we offer that to you today and are filled with the Holy Ghost, if you're living your very best for him, because he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. We can't just live any old way. Amen? Amen? And so what I want to ask you today is, will you be a bride, part of the bride, or will you be just a concubine, just using the Lord as a fire escape, just using the Lord for whatever he can get for you or give you? Or will you serve him, recognizing that he is coming back? He's coming back. Are we looking for his returning? The marriage supper will take place. Every prophecy that he has given, he has fulfilled. And this is no time to be playing church. This is no time, hallelujah, to be serving him for what we can just get. He has chosen us. He's chosen you. And he wants you to put him first in your life. He wants you to give him your all. And with that, he will bless you. He will bestow blessings on you. There's nothing that can compare with a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to be with you before you very long. This is what the Lord put on my heart. And I have hundreds and hundreds of scriptures here. Revelation 19:7-9 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." Amen. How do we make ourselves ready? The Bible talks about being clothed in humility. The Bible talks about laying aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. The Bible shows us how we can get ready, how we can keep our garments spotless, how we can be cleansed by the washing of the word, by coming to church, by reading our Bible, by staying in constant fellowship with him. And so we know now, just as in the olden times, that the groom had prepared everything for the bride, and he has gone away to prepare for us. Everything has been arranged. The covenant has been given. Everything has been provided. It's for us to get dressed and be ready for his return, in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. You can stand, amen. A Jewish wedding was kind of different to what we do today. I was telling in the class, like Sunday school, that when we have a wedding today and you are standing up, you know, you have to get your, if you're in the groomsman, what do you have to get? Your tux, right? And if you're a bridesmaid, you have to go get your dress. In a Jewish wedding back then, you had to provide for every guest a wedding garment. So if you're going to have a wedding, you know, you're going to be inviting very few people, or maybe a lot of people, depending on how wealthy you were, because for every guest, you gave them a wedding garment. That's why Jesus told that parable of the king who threw a big wedding, and he invited people off the street, and he gave everyone a wedding garment. But when he came to the wedding, he noticed that there was someone in there who wasn't dressed. And he asked him, "Friend, how did you get in here? How did you get in here?" And the scripture says he was speechless. So he was thrown out. Jesus didn't tell that parable for no reason, but he was trying to make a point. He has provided the wedding garment. And he's saying to us today, "Friend, are you going to get dressed? Are you going to be the bride, or are you just going to be the concubine? The second-rate wife. The one who is only there to provide children or to get things. Who did not have inheritance if the father died. What are you going to be?" Because there is going to be a marriage supper. Jesus, the whole New Testament, the whole Old Testament points to the fact that marriage is like Christ and the church. A Jewish wedding was different in another way, in that the wedding ceremony was not really, or the celebration was not really, until after the bride and groom had been consummated. So they would go into a little room. All the guests would wait outside. I think that'd be kind of a difficult experience. They would be intimate and then come out. That's exactly how it's going to be. Jesus is coming back for his church, and he's going to take us away to heaven before he comes back. And it's only those that who have been invited to the wedding party are going to go on to be wedding guests. So again, the question that she asked is, are you part of the bride, or are you just a concubine? Or did you get to the wedding and not put on the wedding garment? We're going to close this service. We're so happy today because that young man is going to put on the wedding garment. Put on Christ by baptism. That's what the Bible says. Not going to hold you very long, but I want you to know that we have wedding garments. You're being invited to a wedding. This is one not to miss. It's more important than Prince Charles and Diana. It's more important than Rockefeller. It's more important than Jeff Bezos. It's more important than, you know, that Tesla guy. This is the one wedding ceremony not to miss. Amen. We're going to close this service. If you would like prayer, these altars are open. You're being invited to a wedding ceremony. And the garment has been provided for you. All you have to do is understand that you can be the bride and not the concubine. Amen. Hallelujah. If the praise team could come on up. We're going to sing. We're going to pray. There's a question that you have to answer.
A part of the message was this. Hagar was blessed, but she was also rejected and felt very used. And I just wonder if there's anyone here today that she was under the law, she did all she was supposed to do, yet she was rejected. And maybe someone here today feels that way, that you're used, rejected. I want you to come down to the altar if you feel that way today. God wants to bless you. You are no longer under obligation to fulfill the law. The Bible says, by grace are you saved. It is the gift of God. And today, if you're feeling that way, I want you to know that God loves you. If you made mistakes in the past, God loves you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Or maybe you just want to become a part of that bride. come down to the front. Let us pray with you. This is your day. This is your hour. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. We're going to pray. Church, if you could help pray with me. Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we just thank you that you have given us this opportunity to get an invite to the ultimate wedding. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that we will be dressed in the garment that you have provided. Lord, for those who are under the sound of my voice, Lord, who feel a touch, who feel a call, who feel, Lord God, that you're speaking to them, I pray right now, help them to respond. Lord God, as we pray for them, Lord God, that there will be a change of direction in their life, that there will be, oh God, a new blessing, a new door of favor, of opportunity. Lord, that you will be with them, that you will make that commitment with them, Lord, that you will get into covenant with them. We thank you right now, Jesus. We lift up your name, Lord, for those who are going down in your name, who are putting on the wedding garment. Lord, we rejoice. We give you praise. We give you thanks. Hallelujah. Lord, because they are coming to you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you right now. Church, if you could continue to pray, as I'm going to pray for those at the